Okay, we're up to page Kuf Lamed Aleph. Halacha Kuf Mem Ches. Okay, Halacha Kuf Mem Ches. Shloisha Dvarim Barach HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Adam. Oznayim Einayim Lashoyin. Okay, could be we run out. We have to have to get some more. No, that's not. I think we need just one on top. Make sure it's the Aleph, it's the right vowel here. It's Aleph, not base. Look on the side, and it should be Aleph. Okay, look out.
It's a different thing. I don't want
to. Maybe we should get some more of them. Okay, Shloisha Devarim. There are three things. Three things. Ears, eyes, and the tongue. Oznayim Lishmoya. Einayim Lirois. Lashoin Lidaber. Okay, these things are what their primary function. V'heim Devarim Hashemaseh Adam Naseh Al Yideihem. Whatever person does needs the Haskama. It needs to be signed off by all three. You need the ears, the eyes, and the tongue. If a person, Rachmana Litzlan, did not have ears, if a person did not have ears, then he would benefit in a way, even though he could not survive, but at least he would not hear all of the foolish, all the nonsense. Shama sheyesh l'sham isha oimamayin asher yuchal lignayv. He would not hear, know that a woman is in a certain location that he can do an avera with, or there is money that is available for the taking if you know how to steal. The ilo haya eloi naim lo haya tzayfe b'erva. If he did not have eyes, he would not be nichshal in seeing things that are forbidden. Umisave lo v'chama dvarim. So, this is a very famous. This chazaning. We've heard this many times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these three items, and these three items obviously are of great benefit, but they're also very dangerous. And therefore, because they could be the source of many sins, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He protected all of these three things. May also HaKadosh Baruch Hu sam l'cholecha v'echad gader v'choymel l'havdil ba'adam. Hashem erected a fence for each one of these things. U'l'harchik min ho'avera. For example, sam l'oznayim ho'etz ba'ois hamishupa'ois ki yisedois. V'alyas ho'ozen r'chava harbe li'ois soisma. There are two things that Hashem did to close up your ears. Interesting how the Sefer Chasidim puts together two separate Mamori Chazal. One Mamori Chazal is the reason why the fingers are in such a shape where it's not flat and it's just right. It perfectly fits into your ear. Even though a doctor... There's a second thing it says. Then there's a second thing. So there are two ways you can close, you can reduce the sound by putting your fingers into the ears, even though a doctor tells us that you should not put into your ear anything that is smaller than your elbow. Don't put into your ears Q-tips, things like that. It's not good for your ears. But Chazal tell us, no, the reason why the fingers were made in such a shape is that you can put your fingers into the ear in order to prevent you from hearing Lashon Hara. And what else did Chazal say? The reason why a person has a fatty substance on the lower portion of his lobe, the earlobe, is in order to pull it up and to stick it into your ear. It doesn't actually work all that well if you try it, but this is what it says in Chazal. You shall say the peg. Alos necha, you shava yosed means a peg, in order, with your weapons, like a shovel, to cover your waist. Chazal megadrasha, the yosed means your finger. Your pinky, you should put into your ear in order not to hear. By the way, when did the digits, when did they come into existence? What did Chazal say? Did Adam, Harishon have fingers? The Pashtus is not. The first time that fingers came into existence was Noach. Hashem, that's what it says in Chazal, that until the time of Noach, man had no need for fingers. No need for fingers, so therefore he just had a flat palm. And Noah was born with a mutation where his fingers were separated. and he was and he was able to use them to plow the earth. It was necessary at that point in time because, and since the curse of Bezeah Sapecha Toicha Lechem came about later, and now man needed to work the earth, and the way to work the earth was by using your fingers before Noah invented the plow. That's why it was necessary for the fingers to be separated. So this is Ma'amar Chazal, but if you take that Ma'amar Chazal a little bit further, it comes out that until a point in time, there was no need for a person not to listen. Even though Adam was a nikshal in listening to Chav. It all goes together. Adam listened to Chav. Because he listened to Chava, he listened to her to do the wrong thing. Now it was necessary that the fingers first be created. So in all future generations, when a person is about to speak Lashon Hara, you can put your finger in the ear not to listen. In other words, when Chava came to Adam, Adam had no protection. He was vulnerable. Chava told Adam bad advice. So Adam was the wisest of all men. Why didn't Adam just turn down the volume? Turn off the volume? The answer was he couldn't. Adam did not have a finger to put into his ear to prevent him from hearing the bad advice of Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated man's fingers so they can protect themselves from bad advice. If you sense something that's about to be said is not correct, you have protection. It was not necessary before the first sin. That's also part of the equation. Let's go further.
Hashem created the Adam full, complete. Why not forget?
It's not Hashem say, only creates what a person needs. Adam did not need fingers for two reasons.
Hashem did not know that.
Adam did not know. Adam did not. Adam Harishon did not need fingers for two reasons. That's what it's explaining. Number one, he did not need fingers because he did not need to work the earth. Hashem put him in Gan Eden, Lo'ovda u'Lashamra. Adam did not need to work the land with a plow, not to work. He was in Gan Eden, and Gan Eden everything was provided. Adam, the curse of Bezeas Apecha Toicha Lechem only came about after the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Until that point in time, Adam had no need to work the earth, no need to type on a computer, no need for fingers. Adam HaRishon was a spiritual being. It was not necessary. So therefore, if it's not necessary, Hashem doesn't give it to you. Hashem only gives you what you need in this world. Adam also never fathomed that he would be nichshol in listening to Lashon Hara. Who would say, who would give you bad advice? Who would abuse the Koyach HaDibor and tell you bad advice that you would need to shut down your ears? It's only after these two events happen, Adam was nichshol from the Eitz Hadas by listening. He couldn't help himself. And now he was cursed that he has to work the earth. So now it was necessary for Hashem to separate the digits of his palm into fingers. So number one, he has dexterity where he can actually go to work and sit and type away the whole day on his smartphone, peck away with his fingers. It was after Adam. Noach, we consider Noach, even though Noach was 10 generations later on, but we consider Noach to be the next era. Adam was nichshol. The curse of Adam was not fully implemented until 10 generations later. It wasn't, he woke up the next day. Adam wakes up the next day, okay, I did an Avera. It's a whole new world now. The earth is cursed. Hashem doesn't do things in an instant. Things happen gradually. The full toikef, the impact, the change that had to exist in the Berea, in creation, due to the Chatoim of Adam HaRishon, were not fully implemented, did not fully come into existence until the era of Noach. Noach was addition to, the second addition of man. It was the second Tekufa. It was a product of all of Adam HaRishon's mistakes. And that took 10 generations until the full change came about. So that's why Noach, by him it says, only going to live for 120 years at most. And by Noach, we find that he has fingers. And we find Noach living a whole different type of life, which we relate to. Unlike Adam, which we do not relate to. And it's not just Adam, it's the trickle-down transition of 10 generations. Okay, so we have over here, so now, there another element we have to understand, that there are two things over here, the two different types of protection for the ear. There is the earlobe, and there is the fingers. L'chayr refers to there are two different types of things that you don't want to hear. Sometimes you don't want to hear bad things, and sometimes you don't want to hear good things. Hearing good things also can be a very big nisayon. If you hear about how wonderful something is, just because it's wonderful for him does not mean it's wonderful for you. Chavetz Chaim, he writes, you know, the halacha people don't know. It's really not really very relevant because people don't have this nisayon. You're not allowed to compliment a person too much or speak about the praise of someone too much, because I'll tell you about someone here. I'll tell you about this fellow, what a great person he is, and I'll talk about him. It's natural that there's someone here that's going to be jealous, or someone here that's a child that's a match, that is a parallel to that person that you're speaking about, and it's not as successful. And by singing someone else's praises, it automatically triggers jealousy, and what happens, the listener will say, yeah, you're right, but he has this defect. So he's not as perfect as you make him. And he has this problem. So you're not allowed to overdo it. When you give over praise about a person to someone else, you're not allowed to overdo it. If you tell a person, wow, I went on this vacation, I went to this place, and you start describing how wonderful it is, it's not always good. The other person could get jealous. I can't afford to have that experience. Or just because that experience was a benefit for me, who says that same experience would be a benefit for you? So everything that you say has to be said with chachma. It's not always so beneficial to hear everything that goes on in this world. So therefore, you have to have the Hashem made two different types of pegs to close up your ears. The fat tail, the alia, the earlobe, and the fingers. The fingers is not to listen to bad stuff. And the alia, which is usually used as something that's very beneficial, the alia by an animal, fat represents good things, is where you're supposed to close up your ear and not listen at times to things that are seemingly good. Because too much good can be harmful. So there are two different items which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that a person should use to shut down his hearing in a given situations. Next halacha. So therefore, Hashem made these fingers hamishupois. Can you say this for Aliyah? Okay, there's no more for Aliyah. I'm sorry, I think we ran out. I'm sorry, we ran out. But that's a different value. I'm sorry. We'll have to struggle more. I know, but that's a different value. That's chelik base. I know, but it does not have it in that volume. I know. Kuf memches. Next, the God there. Next, the God there. Neged Hashemaya. Let's read this paragraph. May also Hashem Baruch Hu some lechalecha vechad God vechem alav the bottom. Ulecharchik mina veira. Some oznayim hoetzbois hamishupois ki seides vealia hoizen and the alias hoizen vechav harbel yisaysmai. Next, the Goder neged Hashemaya im yishma devarchet. Now, some einayim lechasis for listaim v'latsoim einav mirois berach. Hashem Baruch Hu gave us eyelids, which a person can close his eyes and not look at something that is forbidden. V'la'loshoin, Hashem was very concerned about the danger of the tongue, and he gave men a double lock. There are teeth and there are lips. V'la'loshoin, shtei choymois choymas etzem, v'choymas bosar. To put that lethal weapon, the tongue, behind closed doors, should not speak lashon hara, milabav lashon hara, v'shum dvar avera. V'adam hanivze, kishu sam oznav l'shmaya avera. When a person when he abuses the gifts of Hashem, and he listens to words of sin, The ein of lirois avera, he uses his eyes to look at things that are forbidden. L'shoinai lehatzmid mirma, to cleave to deceit. Me'osa, paratz geder malkoy shel olam, he is a ganaf. Well, not a ganaf, he's a person who is breaching down the fences that Hashem has established. Hashem created barriers. Hashem built walls. Okay, Hashem, he ran on a platform, and he's going to build a wall. And Hashem built a wall. He built a wall for the eyes, for the ears, and for the tongue. Kamach hachatoyim na'asu. Look at how great sin, what it accomplishes. Kach moshel adam aparitz gedim melech basav adam. If a person were to climb the fence at the White House, would take down the fence of the White House, where would he end up? In solitary confinement. He would be on the news. The whole world would be talking about the guy who chopped down or cut down the fence in the White House. What will they do to such a fellow? Look at the mashal that he gives us. A person goes and he cuts down the barriers, the walls of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lips, the teeth, the ears, and the eyelids. So how much more so? Goder, a person who breaches a fence, yishchenu nochosh, should be bitten by a snake. The nochosh hakadmoini, the chait Adam Rishon, the Adam sinned with all of his senses except for smell. Adam sinned with his ears. He listened to Chava. He sinned with his eyes. He looked. He saw that it was nechmad lamare. He sinned with his tongue. It was. He ate it, so that the palate tasted it. And it was the ears. He listened to Chava. He looked at it. He tasted it. He touched it. He took it with his hands. The only sense that he did not sin is reach. It does not say that he inhaled. Okay? He was not running for office. It does not say that Adam HaRishon, he smelled the fragrance of the Eitz Hadas, and that is why it has not been tainted. We still have left the Ketores. The Ketores was offered Lefnai V'Lefnin, because this Koyach of Reach, Vayorech Hashem Mishreach Nechach, was not damaged by Adam HaRishon.
Did he have eyebrows?
The Adam eyebrows? I don't know. V'hoya b'yoyim hashishi, kuf, next halach, k'vayim b'yoyim hashishi, v'yim b'hichinim yishtoch, b'erv Shabbos, yechal b'erv Shabbos. The person that prepares on Erev Shabbos will merit to have what he done on Shabbos. Me'oid, me'oid, yesh, loy, l'odom, l'yozoriz, l'sakin, tzarech Shabbos, to make hachanis for Shabbos, u'mohir, to be swift, v'zoriz, and diligent, ki odom asher shoma, ki hamalka bo, v'nis'ach, sina, b'beisov. A person gets word that the queen is coming and will be staying in his home, he will prepare way and in advance to prepare the linen and the accommodations, the entertainment, the food for the queen. Shabbos is Shabbos Malchisa. Oh yeah, Kala, or let's say your daughter-in-law is coming for the first time. I remember my brother got married and my mother, she put the house in order like I never saw. And I said to my mother, she's only 21 years old, just a kid. what are you going with sugar? It's just a little child, this person that's coming to the house. What are you putting everything in order? Okay, so when you do for the kala, you do special. So Allah has kama kama Shabbos malchus of chobneach chaburasa. V'chol b'nei chavurasa bohim el beisai, when all of your friends come to the house, mahu oistes someach simcha gadolah v'oyim kama oisin li kavod gadol asher bobitzel koirasi. What an honor I have to host the queen, to host this distinguished guest. Oimer la avadi, you tell your servants, tiknaku habayis, clean the house, upanu oisa, take out all of the things that are not necessary, v'chabdu oisa, sweep it, v'siknu hamitois v'nei kvar abo, prepare the linen for the guests. I'm going to purchase good quality food. He himself makes the food. You don't trust your chef. And she is a delicate one. anuga. It's a delicacy. Al achas kam v'kamah sheishal l'tzriach liyas ba'al abayis atzam misakin afilu choyilu me'avodim karabu d'malach shibuto. The Gemara has different stories of all different amorim, what they did for Shabbos. Each one on their own went, and they did something in honor of Shabbos. They all say that today in America, we've won the battle of Shmir Shabbos. When after the war, when many of the survivors came to America, the motto was, if you don't work on a Saturday, don't come back on Monday. So Baruch Hashem, today that war is over. We won the war. Today, Baruch Hashem is accepted. A person can be Shemesh Shabbos. They'll bend backwards for you. What have we lost? What war have we lost? Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, unfortunately, we have yet to have an appreciation of what it means to come into Shabbos in the proper frame of mind. That is something which still needs work. Next, Al Yikones Adam Pasuk Kufnun, Al Yikones Adam L'Shabbos Kishehu Me'uneh, a person should not fast. You're not allowed to fast Erev Shabbos. You'll ask, what about Asara B'Teves, Shechaliyos Erev Shabbos? That's an exception due to the Choymer Hadavar, and because it says in the Pasuk, Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh. It's the only fast day that we fast on Friday, because the Pasuk emphasizes that it happened Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Yom Kippur can never come out on Friday. Chazal arranged the calendar. The calendar has been fixed that Yom Kippur can never come out on a Friday or on a Sunday for that matter. Okay, that's how been time B'sman Shabbos HaMikdash Shoyakayim, it is possible. But now that the calendar has been arranged by Hillel HaKot Hasheni, it's been arranged by Hillel, so therefore the calendar is why one of the reasons is because it's not proper for Shabbos, and we can arrange a calendar that you should come into Shabbos in the state of being Mu'une. Only exceptions, the Churban based Hamidash Aschalto de Paranusa, it's the beginning of the Churban, it's the beginning of the process of the Dalat Tzomis, we fast on Friday. Now, however, it's very interesting to take note that there are many Paiskin that hold that you break your fast before Shabbos. We don't do this, most of us do not do this, it's not done today. But Me'ikar Hadin, there are many poskim that say that when the Asara B'Teves falls out on Friday, you are supposed to break your fast a few minutes before Kabbalah Shabbos. At sunset, at candle lighting is approximately, people light 18 minutes before sunset. And Yerushalayim, the minhag is to light candles 40 minutes before sunset. Break your fast. The fast is over. You don't have to fast until Tzei Sakai Chavim. You're allowed to break your fast. And if a person fasts privately, sometimes people, for whatever reason, Tainas Chaloim, or a person, whatever the reason, there's a need to fast on Erev Shabbos, there are such situations, then the halacha is you are permitted and sometimes required to break your fast a few moments before Shabbos begins. You fasted. Fasting the whole day. It doesn't mean you have to fast until it's 92 minutes after sunset. We're not talking about Chilul Shabbos. The laws of fasting are not the laws of Shabbos. Malacha, you're not allowed to do malacha until it's Tzei Sakai Chavim, until the three stars come out. So what does that mean, three stars come out? It means 40 minutes after sunset, 35 minutes after sunset. Most of us here follow 50 minutes after sunset, 60 minutes, 72 minutes, 90 minutes. Some even longer, but when it comes to fasting, there's no such halacha. Fasting goes until the day is over. The day is defined until the end of the day, until sunset. So we're a little machmer. We wait 45 minutes. We're machmer, but Mikra didn't have to wait so long. And certainly, when it's Erev Shabbos, not to be in violation of coming into Shabbos in the state of fasting, it's not proper. You break your fast. Now this halacha does not apply to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because Erev Rosh Hashanah is not Shabbos. Erev Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov does not have the same stringency as Shabbos. So those people who do fast Erev Rosh Hashanah, they can fast all the way until they eat the meal.
Unless it's Shabbos.
Exactly. If Erev Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, then they can be makel to break your fast before you come into Rosh Hashanah. There is a minhag, a kadmon. People today don't do this. You don't hear about it too much. But it used to be, in the olden days, people would fast Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, but you're coming into Yom Tov, you're hungry, is that proper Derech Eretz? Well, for Rosh Hashanah it is. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin, you have Yesud at night, you don't have to break your fast. But if Shabbos, if you're fasting on Erev Shabbos, then you should break your fast before Shabbos begins in order that you should lighten up your frame of mind. You should not be mevazeh the Shabbos by coming in Muna. Lefich, therefore, ein lisanes Erev Shabbos similar halakas and ner. Ein lisanes Erev Shabbos. You should not fast. Samach lahadlokas haner yitoim tavshiloi. Vehazoiche misane umashlim. Those that are zoiche, they are misane, they fast, and they're mashlim. What is here on the top over here, on the top of the page in the parish? What's the loimar? Im yuchal lahashlim hatainis ad halayla. I'm reading from the parish over here on the top. We want to wish Dr. Brizak a mazel tov. Dr. Brizak's granddaughter has become a kala. Last night was the vart. We wish him a mazel tov. You should have nachas from all of your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And you should zoicha to be mekabel pnei Mashiach together with them. B'mher of Yemeinu, amen. So he says over here, the parish caught him in a very, very fascinating insight, and that is, it depends on your nature. There are people who are easy fasters. There are people that it's no big deal, no sweat off their back to fast the whole day. If a person, it does not bother them, it does not occupy their mind, that they have not eaten, adarabah, then it's a milah to fast the entire Erev Shabbos, not because of the inyan of doing a tainus. An entirely different reason. You should have a te'ovoin. When you come into Shabbos, you should have an appetite. So that's a milah. You should come into Shabbos not to cheat. Some people, they cheat. They have, there's a whole new mishigase. It's called toyameha. Toyameha. It's a whole new world. Living now in a whole new world. When I grew up, I never heard of these things. I never heard of an upshar, and even though that what it was, I never heard of a vachnacht. I never heard of all these new minhagim we have now today. To now, there's a new mishigase. If you pay attention to what's going on today, there's a nayazach called toyameha. Ever hear this?
Yeah.
Toyameha, which means Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. You have a little cholent, a little kugel, especially, where do they see this? When you make a simcha, when you invite, let's say you're making a simcha, and you're inviting guests. So you put out a tzettel, you're putting up, let's say, 10 families, your cousins, your long-lost cousins and uncles and relatives, and all of your neighbors home. So you give them all a tzettel, a little care package with a newspaper. You put in the free paper. And then if you're a little more nice, you buy them a Mishpacha magazine, and you put in some danishes, some bottled water, a chves. You put in some you put in some goodies, and then you put in a tzettel of all the zmanim. We're going to be eating Friday night here. And we're going to be eating Shabbos day here. And Shalosh Shudas is going to be there. And part of the tzettel, a new thing is, and at 4 o'clock Erev Shabbos, is Toyameha. Candlelighting is at 7 o'clock. But come over to the house at 4 o'clock for Kabbalah's Ponim, and we'll give you some kugel. And from Cholent, Toyameha, we'll give you a little thing to taste. Toyameha. So over here, this is not a good thing. This minhag, I don't know where it comes from, but it's not a good thing. It's clearly not what Chazal had in mind. Chazal made it clear as day that when you come into Shabbos, you should come in b'tei ovoin. Yeah. You're supposed to taste to make sure. That's where it comes from. The halach is that when you're preparing your chalin, you're supposed to taste it, in order to make sure that you have just the right amount of salt and pepper, so it should be good. So this... Oh, that's already a little bit of a stretch. That's a stretch. So by extension, everyone should come. Everyone totally took on a life of its own. You should come. Everyone should come Erev Shabbos and taste the food to make sure it's good. Really, you're not, that's not what we're doing.
Person who can eat 4 o'clock Friday after feeling cold. can eat a dinner also.
Also. So we have different... That's obviously, that's the head of the logic behind it. It's not going to... Don't worry. Giving me some challah now is not going to take away from my appetite for what we're going to have tonight. Okay? There's always room left over in the stomach for dessert. Okay? There's always room. But me'ikar hadin, according to what was practiced from time immemorial, there's a principle of you should enter into Shabbos Kodesh b'tei avoin, with an appetite. Laws of matzah. You're not allowed to eat matzah Erev Pesach, Me'ikar Hadin, yeah?
You also shouldn't be eating a lot of bread so that you don't have an appetite for the challah.
For the challah. In the chanam, you're not allowed even allowed to wash, because washing is a su'udah. You're not allowed to wash Erev Shabbos after Mincha Ketana. Because it's a su'udah.
Also, like Shabbos Yom Kippur, you don't want to wash.
Right, so they are washing, you're not allowed to wash. But the taste, te'ima is permitted. But just because it's permitted doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do if it's going to take away from your appetite.
So
he writes, yeah.
Chassidus Shemimic is that you go to sleep each
other. You go to sleep?
Yeah.
Yes, because only the Averis of the week, you have your last hour.
What Averis? What Averis?
The hour is the strongest right before Shabbat because it Last chance, very interesting.
Rabbi Kefet, he always says on his shiur, he always says he goes to Mincha with Chassidim, he davens in the Nusach Sfarad Minyan, and they come, they're clapping, Shalom the Bagan goes down the Bardofi for Mincha as Nusach Sfarad, they're clapping away there, and he looks and says, I don't understand. When did you have time to do all these averes? When did you have time? I'm so busy. I don't have time to breathe. When did you have time since the lesson Shacharis? Shacharis, you also clap. Or Shalom the Boganu. When do you have time to do all these
averes?
The
same thing by
Neila. What? Vurachum, vurachum. Slachlan or the Nikichatanu. Okay, so in any event.
Next Shabbat. Is Erev Shavuos.
Erev Shavuos.
You have that
earlier.
That's
right. So that's supposed to happen. You have to have it very early. Exactly. You'll see very, very little. You have to control yourself. So over here, it's clear as day that according to the Kadmonim, it was the Minug Adraba to fast Erev Shabbos for one primary reason, that you should enter into Shabbos with an appetite. And the question is, even though if you're going to fast, but that may be harmful because if you're a weak person and you're hungry, then you're coming into Shabbos not in a proper frame of mind. You're groggy. You're grouchy. You're in a nasty mood. If you don't eat children, when they don't eat, they become very worked up. They become hyperactive. When they don't eat, they become very groggy. So we all know that if you don't eat, there's no glucose in your brain, you're in a lot of trouble. You're not in a lot of trouble. So therefore, how do you balance the two? How do you balance coming into Shabbos b'te'avoin with not being me'uneh, without not being groggy? So it depends on the nature of the person. Everyone is different. There are some people that he writes, they're zoiche. Hashem gave them a gift. He gave them a gift. They don't need any glucose in their minds. They can survive without eating the whole day. They're fine. They're happy people. And now they fast. So they fast. They have the best of both worlds. They're not groggy. And they come in with a te'avon. But the average person is not like. The average person, if he's not eating the whole day, he's not in a very good mood. So he needs to break his fast a few moments before Shabbos. Toyameha, a little taste, in order to get the glucose up there, to put him in a good frame of mind, but not enough food in order to take away his appetite for Shabbos. We see here, at least, we're not shy to most of these things, but we see over here that in ancient times, Shabbos was Malchus. Shabbos, they had this very deep appreciation for Shabbos. It was something they looked forward to, something they were mechabed. It changes the entire week, the entire outlook on life when you have a Shabbos like this, with such an extreme degree of preparation and appreciation for Shabbos Kodesh. We're going to stop and take a short break. We're going to talk about today Yerushalayim.
Oh, yeah. 149 and 150. Oh, why? What is it? Only the page is 64. Yours is 70.
Thursday nights.
Why?
Don't remember.
My house, my parents' house was.
Why?
It must be my yes. Yeah. American people said yes.
Why?
Because of Shabbos.
Shabbos. Well, one day.
Even
milk is Thursday night.
I know about it.
I know, he told me. I said, I didn't say that.
I don't have any recollection.
Oh, I forgot to tell Scott.
I don't think so. I don't even remember what I ate when I ate when I was a child. What did my parents serve me for dinner?
I don't have any
memory of eating foods in the house. Isn't it funny? I must have ate, right? So I came out every night. My mother gave us what to eat. All the years.
Not from him.
I assume it was chicken. Chicken and potatoes. I have a vague memory of eating chicken and potatoes. I don't remember. Not meat. My mother, my parents never gave us meat. Chicken and potatoes.
Then also, my Bobby used to tell me when she should throw me over 100 years. Those people that had nothing.
Right. A whole different. Yeah, 100%.
Where did they go?
Yeah.